Perfect people in here, stand up this morning. Anybody perfect this morning? Anybody been declared perfect this morning? Amen. Amen. Anybody been declared perfect? The righteousness of Christ has been now given to me. That's why that song says, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon the cross. Because unlike that video, when he started, he said, I am perfect. Sometimes we all know in our minds that we're not perfect. But how many of us try to be? How to try to do all the right things and try to keep all the rules and try to obey as much as we can. And in our minds, sometimes we get it twisted and think that we can and that we are somehow making ourselves look better to God. And none of us, there's none righteous, no, not one. Amen? But as the Bible said, that none seek after God. That's why I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon the cross. Anybody that know that today that you stand here, if you've come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin on the cross. Because my sin was on the cross, I stand here today justified. I stand here today forgiven. I stand here today when he looks at me, he sees perfect. Even though I messed up before I got here, I had an attitude before I got in the pulpit. Amen, somebody. But when he sees me, he sees Jesus. Hallelujah. He doesn't see my imperfection because it's not about me. It's about his grace and his mercy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy. That's why that song says, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. To say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely. Why? Because you took my mess and you gave me your righteousness. Anybody glad about that this morning? That I don't have to stand before God on the strength of my merit, but on the strength of his holiness and his righteousness that he's placed upon me. And when I mess up later today, because I'm a man with feet of clay, and I live amongst people with feet of clay. When I mess up today, guess what? God says, I still love you. I still care about you. I still got purpose and plan for your life. Not even in the sermon yet, but I'm excited today because I stand here justified. Anybody with me this morning? If you're at home, I'm here to tell you, if you know Jesus, don't beat yourself up about what you did. We talked about, listen, don't let your failures call you to go backwards. You stand justified today. Amen. Once again, I'm Pastor Dwayne. I am so excited to have you here at Encounter Life Church. Can we give all of our guests a round of applause this morning? If you're a guest here, amen. Let's give our guests a round of applause. We all want to continue to keep in prayer those who are sick and shut in. I told y'all my wife was sick. My wife was shut in with Andrew last week. Now she's shut in with herself and our oldest this week. Amen. So y'all pray for her. She and DJ as they're recovering from, I guess it's the new COVID. I guess that's what it is. Y'all pray for them. They're doing fine. They're feeling good. But just want to stay at home today. Amen. So I want to continue to pray for them. I'm going to ask that you all as a family can still pray for one of our family members who's really beloved to us. She and her husband have been here many times, very close to us. Helen and Clyde Wilkins, our own very cousin Clyde Wilkins, went home to be with the Lord on yesterday morning. Helen is my mom's cousin, and Clyde is her husband, very close to us. And Clyde went home to be with the Lord. She said she was just there the night before she left at 6 o'clock. Their anniversary was Monday. Their 47th anniversary was Monday. And I spoke with her this morning, and she heard my voice. She just began to cry. She said she was expecting him to come home. They took him out of ICU. He was going to go home, and God had other plans. She asked me this morning, Dwayne, why do you think the Lord... why do you think the Lord allowed that to happen that way? Sometimes I said, sometimes we don't know what God is doing, but we got to trust that he's right about everything. That he's right about everything, and that he's able to keep you. He's able to comfort you and strengthen you. So please pray for Helen Wilkins, her daughter Benita, and their two grandchildren. Pray for them as they mourn the loss of my friend and my family member, Brother Clyde Wilkins. Just pray for our family, if you will. Amen. This time, I'm going to draw your attention to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. We're going to look at Matthew 23 this morning, and we're going to be finishing our series on keeping score. On keeping score. A couple of things as y'all are turning there, I just want to draw your attention to. Also, remember on October the 14th, we have a gas station takeover. Encounter Life is going to be partnering with another church here in the area, and we're going to take over the gas station at the Royal Farms on Auth Road. And from 8:30 till about noon, we're going to be giving away free gas and the love of Christ. So we need volunteers. Amen. So if any of you are available on the 14th of, that's 2 weeks, 2 weeks from now, on the 14th of October, please see me. I would have you see Sister Kenya Jefferson, but pray for her. She had surgery this week as well. So please pray for the Jefferson house. Natalie had to be rushed to the hospital at the beginning of the week. Kenya had surgery on Wednesday. Sister Elaine had a colonoscopy on Friday. So she said, I'll pray for our whole house, Pastor. So we can pray for them. Pray for God's healing. We know they're watching this morning and let you know that we love you and that God, we pray that God continue to give you strength. Amen. So just continue to lift them up. Can we go to the word, Lord, in a word of prayer before we dive into the word this morning? Dear God, we thank you and we praise you. We honor you because you're good. And Lord God, your mercies are new every morning. We thank you for being our shelter, for being our provider, for being our shepherd, God. We love you today. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace, for loving us in spite of us, God. We praise you. And now today, I pray that you'll help us to stop keeping score. Help us to stop keeping a record of our failures. And Lord, help us also not to get in the habit of trying to keep a record of our victories and our wins. But Lord God, to know that we don't come to you based on merit, but based on your grace. Help us to never lose sight of your grace. Lord God, when we began the race with grace, let us continue the race with grace. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 23. You know, that video that I just played earlier, when the guy, it was a joke. He said, I am perfect, right? How many of y'all know, anybody know some people that they act like their stuff don't stink? Anybody know? Like, if you ever met anybody that you just can't correct them. They write about everything. They're right about everything. I know some folks like that. It's like, you're like, I don't even feel like talking to you if they wrong, because it's going to be frustrating. You can't correct them. They write about everything. They know everything. They haven't done anything wrong. They kind of remind you, always want to remind you of how good they are. Anybody know people like that? Some of y'all don't want to say it because you came with them this morning. That's okay. Amen. But and I'm going to tell you, we've been talking about keeping score over the last, this is our fourth week, keeping score. And our series is what we lose when we keep count. We as a people have a tendency to keep score in life. It's because we are works-based. We deal with people based on performance, on our job. Everything is performance-based. I know, I'm in medicine. Well, I was in medicine, and I remember a time when I began practice and Dr. Hutchinson can tell you, you know, and Pastor Matt can tell you, when you come in, you did the service, you did the fee, and I mean, you did a service, and they gonna pay you. And you used to see patients, and you submit your bills, and they gonna pay you. But everything changed now to performance. Even on my job, when I was working there, it's like, okay, now how many of these did you see? We're gonna pay you based on how many of this that you done, or how many of these tests you did. Everything is based on performance. So we, on your job, whatever your career is, we all try to perform all the time. In our relationships, we're based on performance. Most of you, before you met your spouse, you were trying to perform, trying to prove that you were worthy. And then they got married and your spouse found out he was lying half the time. Amen. When relationship, we based on performance. We're trying to dot all of our I's and cross all of our T's. We do all of that. And we carry that performance mindset into every relationship But unfortunately, the one relationship where it doesn't matter, where it's not based on that, we do that too. We carry that desire to perform and keep score when it comes to our relationship with God. That's why when we said last week, when I mess up, I'm keeping a tally of my mess ups and saying, if I messed up like, on my job, I got 3 strikes and I'm out. On your relationship, you might get that guy 3 strikes and he's out. So when we look at God, I messed up yesterday. I got one more time. Today, 3 strikes, oh Lord God, am I out? God said, no, I ain't even looking at what sin. He's already forgotten what I can't forget. So we approach God with the keeping score mindset with our failures, but unfortunately, sometimes we also approach God with the keeping score mindset with our wins and our spiritual victories as well. Sort of like there's the people in the Bible we're going to look at here in Matthew chapter 23. Some of you are familiar with this. A group of people called the Pharisees. These were the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees, and they had a habit of keeping score. Look at Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. It says, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example. For they don't practice what they teach. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Everything they do is for show. On their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside, and they wear robes with extra long tassels. And they love to sit at the head table at the banquets and in the seats of honor in the synagogues. They love to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi. Don't let anyone call you rabbi, for you have only one teacher. And all of you are equal as brothers and sisters. And don't address anyone on earth as father, for only God in heaven is your father. And don't let anyone call you teacher, for you only have one teacher, the Messiah. The greatest among you must be a servant, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. There's another scripture in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2 that I want to read to kind of set the table for today. It says, people may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. You know, when we're in church, we church folks, we have a good, we're good at performing. We can put on a good show. Paul Lawrence Dunbar has a poem called We Wear the Mask. Because sometimes the church, people in the body of Christ, we can wear the mask. And as I said last week, what if all of us could put our stuff to the side and got our business to the side and got about God's business? But sometimes we can be like Pharisees. The Pharisees had all the good look. They did all the right thing, but their motives were bad. And this morning in the body of Christ today, and this is the thing about motives, sometimes that's why the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Sometimes you're not even aware of your own motives. You could get to doing something for so long that you done got it twisted and thought your motives were right, but at the core, your motives are wrong. And so today, what God is calling us to do is to evaluate our lives and see if we're keeping score of the good stuff that we do and to evaluate. And what I want today is at the end of this for me to do a self-assessment and to assess are my motives rooted in what is called pride. And see, there's a wrong motivation for doing what you do in the body of Christ, and there's a right motivation for doing what we do. There's a wrong motivation for doing what we do. And I'm going to look at a couple of things, wrong reasons why we do the right things. How many know you can do the right thing for the wrong reason? Sometimes we can worship God and serve God for the wrong reasons. A lot of times the reason why we do what we do, sometimes we come to church, we give our tithes, we go help the poor, we do whatever. I'm serving in the choir, I'm in the Greek team, I'm doing whatever I'm doing. One reason why we can do right things and one wrong reason we do right things is to prove our righteousness before God. How many of us oftentimes say, look, I want to show how righteous I am to God. And we don't even recognize we're trying to prove ourselves. I've heard it so many times in this pulpit when you give the call so people to give their life to Christ, a call to discipleship. Some people will come and tell me, Pastor, I hear it, but I want to get myself right first. I want to clean up some stuff. I don't want to be a hypocrite when I come. I want to clean my life up. Then I'll come to God. What you're doing is trying to prove yourself righteous before God. So I can't come right now because I ain't got my stuff all together. That's why you need to come. You can't prove yourself to be righteous. There is none righteous. No, not one. The Bible says there's none that seeketh after God. Titus chapter 3 verse 5, it says, He saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. You did not come to Christ. He did not save you and deliver you because you were righteous. And oftentimes we're doing what we're doing to show that we are righteous. That's what the Pharisees were trying to do. To show everybody that, you know what, I'm a spiritual person. And do you know I can get caught up into that? Even in private. Oh man, I got to read my Bible today. I want to prove to God, listen God, that I want to spend time with you. And we can become so methodical and so robotic in our approach to God. Why? Because I'm trying to prove, God, that I'm right with you. God said, you can't prove that you're right with me. You a mess. And I want to free somebody this morning. Stop trying to prove to God that you're right because you're not. Even if you got a good week, you still ain't right. You just got to break the law one time. All you got to do is fall one time and it's over with for you. So we can all take the weight off of your shoulders. That's why he said, look, this is what the Pharisees do. If you look in the passage, he says, listen, what they do, look at verse 4. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger. They try to prove to people they're righteous, and they're putting this weight on people. How many come to church and they just feel this weight because I'm just not right? I'm just not good enough. And in a church, sometimes we can have this environment and be so judgmental. We can be very judgmental, and people, if they don't look the right way, if they're not dressed the right way, if they're not doing the right thing, oh my goodness, they're not spiritual. They got a ways to go. Well, so do you with your nasty attitude. Oh yeah, you read your Bible, but you don't submit to your husband. You read your Bible, but you could snap off of somebody in traffic. So the ground is level at the foot of the cross. So there's some people who won't come into the building because I'm not righteous enough. When we got to understand, listen, we are all sinners saved by grace. Not by my works, not by things that I've done, not by works of righteousness what I've done, but according to His mercy. He saved us. If you're trying to prove to God that you're spiritual, prove to God, God, I want to prove to you that I can be righteous. No, you'll never get it. That's the wrong reason. That's the first thing. Another wrong reason that we do the right things is because of religious routine. Ritual. My mama and them did it. My grandmama and them did it. We all belong to the same church. Somebody came up to me the other day and said, I want to get my baby baptized. That's what we do. Where is your baby saved? I don't know nothing about that. No, see, it's not about routine. It's not about a religious routine. You don't get this if this is not inherited. Spirituality is not inherited. So sometimes we all go to church because my family went to church, and then we'll all go to the same church, or we all a part of this one denomination because this is what my family did. And we can get doing some things that look good. Why? Because it's nothing but a religious routine. And you can ask people, the pandemic revealed the routine for people, didn't it? So many people have been going to church all their life, and then they couldn't go to church, and now when church is back open, they say, "Woo! I don't have to do that no more. Look, and nobody gonna look at me crazy because I ain't in church, because nobody can go." And now when you can go back to church, I can just slip through the cracks. Ooh, my mama and them did it. I don't have to do it. I don't even know why I was doing it in the first place. You can get caught in the religious routine. So many people do that. Listen, that's what it said. They crush people, verse 4, with an unbearable religious demand and never lift a finger or ease the burden. Sometimes we can get doing things, good stuff, and we forget why we were doing it. Even it happens to me. And you know, sometimes God's calling you, Dwayne, shake it up a little bit. Change the routine. Because you think that you think that the intimacy with me is created by your routine necessarily. No, I had nothing to do with that. Because sometimes I begin to worship the routine instead of worshiping God. I worship my time with Him instead of worshiping the God I'm supposed to see in my time with Him. I do this every day, every day. It said, no, it's not about a religious routine. Isaiah 29, verse 13. This is what Isaiah said to the Lord said to the people. He said, the Lord says, these people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. Tradition. Tradition can kill you. The reason why tradition doesn't work, because when there's no purpose, there's no power. I'm just doing it. I don't even know why I'm doing it. You can't have power in something you don't understand the purpose in. It's not going to bring any change. You got to ask yourself, am I still doing this just because I've always done it? Have I lost sight of the purpose? Now, what you're doing still might be good, but you might need to go take you back to the old landmark. You might need to ask God to take you back to remind me of why I got here, why I'm doing this, to kind of give it a renewed purpose in your mind. See, if we do things because we're trying to prove we're righteous, if we do things out of religious routine and ritual, it's empty. Routine brings bondage and oppression. Think about it in your relationship. All of my married people in here, oh, it's a routine. That's oppressive. If you don't feel like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to get home to be with my wife. I can't wait to have an opportunity. I can't wait to spend time with her. Well, it's just what we do. It becomes monotonous. Think about it. Things that become routine die very quickly. Churches, marriages, it's just routine. Why? Because the passion is gone. There's no passion because they don't understand the purpose. Today, make sure that your relationship with God, making sure that what you're doing is not just out of routine. Don't try to prove that you're right before God. Look, the beautiful thing about it is we are no longer bound by rules. We're no longer bound by rules. Listen, I've been in the book of Galatians this week, and I'm just reading that. I said, oh my goodness. I mean, the beauty that, look, why am I still trying to bring people back under a law? And follow some rules and rituals. God said, no, we walk with, listen, it's all about His grace. That's the beauty of a relationship. Not because it's not about I got to, it's about I get to. I gotta do this. No, I get to do this. That is when the passion comes. Wrong reasons that why we do things. We do wrong things. We do the right thing for the wrong reason. Why? Because we're trying to prove our righteousness before God. Sometimes it's just a religious routine and ritual that we've gotten caught up in. But also, listen, another reason why we do the right things for the wrong reasons is the next thing is we try to impress people. Any people pleasers in the building? Amen. I'm one of those. I can be. You see, especially as a pastor, as a leader, because God has called you to shepherd people. So sometimes it is so easy for me to get into the people-pleasing trap. Because you don't want to offend people, you want to encourage people, and you can be trying to do stuff for the wrong reason. To try to impress people. What did he say? Look, in the passage, what did he say? He said, look, they just do it all for show. Verse 5, everything they do is for show. On their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside. And they wear robes with extra long tassels. They just do it for show. They try to impress people. More, he is so, oh my goodness, he's so spiritual. He's so, like the video said, look, I'm humble because they tell me that's what makes people like you. Don't do things to try to please people. Because you're never going to be able to please everybody. See, how do you can tell when you do the people, those of us who do the right thing for the wrong reasons to impress people, when somebody don't praise me, then I get an attitude. When you don't acknowledge that I did it, then I ain't going to do it no more. See, that's how you know it's the wrong reason. Because, listen, and they're always, did you see this? Did you see that? And there's some people, listen, you gotta acknowledge people for what they do. But are you a kind of person, if nobody acknowledges you, will you stop doing it? If nobody were to see you, would you still do it? And when nobody were to say, good job, would you still be encouraged to keep going? I found out in church there's some folks that will get offended, and I'm going to tell you, it will be no problem, because I said, as a pastor, you're trying to impress people. Sometimes you're trying to please people, and at times I say, oh, I forgot to thank such and such. I forgot to thank the other person. And you know there have been times in life when you didn't say thank you to somebody, not because of your head, not because of your heart, but because of your head. You just forgot, and somebody got an attitude. Amen. Why? Because why did I do it in the first place? It ain't about you. It's about who? Him. The Pharisees were doing everything that they did for show. That means when the lights go off, the lights, the camera, the action is over, then you ain't going to see me. If it's no lights, camera, action, I ain't going to do it. I was talking to one pastor, and you know, the churches, all of us were coming back from the pandemic, and when there was an opportunity there, some folks in church, when there were photo ops, people were there. We're giving out this in the community. Folks came out. But when it's time for Bible study in church, no, can't see you. Impress people is such a big thing now that we live in a social media age. So many, and especially our young people. Our young people, man, they want to be influencers. And if it doesn't get them likes, if it doesn't get you followers, all of that, they will go into a straight funk in depression. And they everything you do, can you see, you see anybody, anything you do good, they out there. I've seen these posts that people put up, they having a quiet time, and they got a little picture with their Bible open and a little cup of coffee right there. It says, just having our time with the Lord. Why are you inviting everybody else into your time with the Lord? That's between you and him. You got to take a picture of it. I hope I ain't offending nobody, but I'm just saying. Who was the quiet time for? Let everybody know I'm in my word today. That just confuses me. And it's all set up too. It's set up, the Bible open to the passage, got the pen and the notebook turned just the right way, cup of coffee right there, snap it. Got to get that time with God in today. That's for you and him. I don't need to see that. When I have to post, it's because why? I'm driven by the praise of people. Deliver me from people. Deliver me from the desire to please people. What the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 4, said, listen, look, you do in private. You don't even need to let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. It says, then your Father who sees what is in secret will reward you openly. He said, when you seek to get the praise now from people, that's all you're going to get. That's all you're going to get. Everybody said, oh my goodness, look what they did. Even as, I'm going to tell you, as a church, off the time, we're going out here. Listen, we're getting ready. October 14th, we're getting ready to go out and do a gas station takeover. And there are going to be other churches with us to do it. Look, and it's good. It's great for us. It's a tool. Social media is a tool to let people know what you're doing out here. Yes, it is. But sometimes we can get so wrapped up into our social media presence that we are not present with people. I'm so busy trying to impress and letting you know what's going on, I'm not present in the moment. The God who sees in secret will reward me openly. I don't have to put it on Instagram for you. I don't have to make a TikTok video about it. I don't have to put it on Facebook. I just got to be faithful. And God who sees in secret, he will reward me openly. Why? Because it wasn't for you in the first place. I wasn't trying to impress you in the first place. Look, the wrong reasons why we do things. We do it because we're trying to prove our righteousness to God. We do it out of religious routine and ritual. Sometimes we do it to try to impress people. But you know, another reason why that we do it is a desire to feel good about ourselves. Sometimes I do the right thing. Why? Because not because I'm trying to prove myself right before God, because sometimes I don't feel good about myself. And I'm hoping that the more I do, I'm trying to feel good, more good about myself. Verse 7, right? Look what it says, verse about the Pharisees. It says, they love to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi. They want somebody to pump them up. Right? It wasn't necessarily about impressing people, but sometimes I got some areas of deficiency in myself that the more good I do, I feel better about myself. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing, because there's a vacuum that I'm trying to fill, and God wants to let you know, guess what? He loves you just like you are. Without you trying to perform, look, you are not what you, I told you, you aren't what you've done, good or bad. We gotta stop saying, trying to say, look, God, I feel bad about myself and I'm trying to fill that void by just being more busy. By doing more spiritual work that makes me validate myself. And that's the thing that's dangerous. You know why? Because when things happen and you can't do those things anymore, you done found your worth and you found your significance in what you do and not who God says you are. And when you no longer can perform, and when you no longer can do what you're known for, then you go into depression. Why? Because I can no longer do it, and because who I was wrapped into what I did and not who God says I am. You don't need to do stuff for a desire to feel good about yourself. It ain't about me. God has called me to do it, but you got to understand your significance and your worth is not wrapped up into your ministry. Your significance and worth is not wrapped up into even your children. When your children are raised and gone and doing whatever. Listen, there's some parents who you put everything in and then your children went the wrong direction and now you're down because you think it's a reflection on you. No, it has nothing to do with you necessarily. Stop trying to find your significance in that. Find your significance in who God says that you are. Stop trying to work and continue to do things that look good to try to build yourself up. Because I'm going to tell you, when you can't do them anymore, you crash. How many have seen people do that? You wonder. I've seen it. Man, you've seen pastors in the pulpit, people in ministry doing things, and you find out what happened? They didn't commit. People have committed suicide. People have fallen and slam on their face. What happened? Why? Because their significance was wrapped up into the performance. And when they couldn't perform anymore, or when people found out that, listen, you weren't really authentic, they crashed. Because now, who am I? I don't know who I am outside of that. Sometimes we do things as a desire, why, to feel good about myself. Not just to be righteous before God, but to make me feel good. And then finally, wrong reason that we do things is to earn a reward. We try to rub God's belly. Say, God, if I do this, then maybe you'll give me that car. If I do this, maybe you'll bless me with that house, or you'll bless me with that spouse, whatever it is. I worship him because I'm trying to get a blessing. I do the good thing because hopefully I'm getting something out of this. We especially in this new era of this neo-prosperity gospel, where people are really giving you self-help more than they're giving you the gospel. People are always trying to get something out of God. Instead of bringing everything I have to him, no strings attached. They say, Lord, if I serve here, and that's why when people do that, when God doesn't bless you right away, you get mad and you leave church. There's somebody watching me today. You're not, you listen, you watching today, but you mad at God. We get mad at God because, God, I was faithful. I did this. I was doing my quiet time. I was keeping myself pure. I'm paying my tithes. And now you still ain't give me a husband. And I'm mad at God. Why were you doing it? Were you trying to earn a reward from it? Listen, like he said, we look at God like Santa Claus, like we trying to find out who's naughty or nice. That's not what it is. He doesn't want you to come to him and try to get, just think about it. Just think about it. Ladies, what happens if your husband is just doing things to get something out of you? Or if he's saying, look, I'm going to be nice because I'm hoping that maybe later this evening, honey, that, you know, we get some time alone that the two of us can get together and have some fellowship. That's the only reason he didn't wash them dishes. Them dishes, they ain't washed them dishes in 2 or 3 weeks. But now he feeling like, okay, maybe if I wash the dishes, I'm going to give you a gift, do this and other thing. Maybe you can bless me on the other end. It's like, what in the world is this? You trying to use me? Well, how come we try to use God? Well, God, if I show up to church 3 weeks in a row, I done given you a month. Came from 1 month straight. I was in Bible study. I gave in the offering plate. Why am I still struggling? Was that the reason why you did it? To earn a reward? To get something out of God? So now, this is the two things that happen. When we come to God to earn a reward, two things can happen. One, number one, because he sits outside of time and his reward to you necessarily is not dependent upon your performance. He blesses who he wants to bless. Amen. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Yes, now he can reward you. Look, the Father who sees the secret can reward you openly. But the thing about God's rewards, they're not in your timing. I'm doing it and I didn't see the reward right now. Certain things that we do, we will reap a reward for. But it's not necessarily in your timing. You might not get it next week. You might not get it next year. How many in here can I get a witness who said, listen, I was faithful and I didn't even look at the reward and God blessed me 15, 20 years later. And because he knew, listen, the Bible said the eyes of the Lord go to and fro the earth seeking to show himself strong for people who have a heart toward him. He wants to bless you, but I don't do it to get the blessing. I don't worship the blessing, I worship the blesser. What happens? Two things can happen. Either I get mad at God because he didn't give it to me, or he didn't give it to me in my time frame, or when he does bless you, look, you stop giving him what he was giving him in the first place, because I got what I wanted out of you, God. Now I can do my own thing. How many of us have seen that? We pray, God, bless me, bless me, bless me, and he blesses us, and now we done lost sight. What he blessed us with, I begin to worship that instead of worshiping the God who gave it to me. God said, no, I want you to do the right thing, detached from a blessing. I don't worship him or serve him because I worship him to get blessed. I worship because I am blessed. I do what I do because I'm already blessed, not to get the blessing. He's blessed you with every spiritual blessing. He's given you every good and perfect gift comes down from God. He has blessed you already. And I don't do it to get from God. That's because, listen, the reason why, that's an ungrateful attitude. I've lost sight of what he's already given to me. Isaiah chapter 58. Look at Isaiah 58 real quick. I'm almost done. It says, shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud. Don't be timid. Tell my people Israel of their sins. Yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. We've been very hard on ourselves. And don't you even notice? I tell you why I respond. It's because you're fasting to please yourselves. Saying, God, we do all this. You ain't noticing it. What we getting up? He said, because it ain't for me. You did that for you. They asked me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. We fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We think God's supposed to be impressed with our stuff and then bless us, give us something. No. We worship, we serve, we do the right thing because we are already blessed, not to receive a blessing. When we look at that, those wrong reasons, I gave you five wrong reasons. You know what they all spell? Put it up on the screen. You know what that spells? Pride. That's pride. When we do things for the wrong reason, it all amounts to pride. When I'm trying to prove my righteousness. When I get involved in religious rituals and routines that have lost their meaning. When I try to impress people. When I have a desire to make myself feel good. Or try to earn a reward. That's all me focus. It's all me focus. But look, what does the passage say right here? If you look at verse 12, verse 11 says, the greatest among you must be a servant. But those who exalt themselves will be humble. And those who do what? Humble themselves will be exalted. I want to leave us with this. First of all, I want you and I, all of us, because we all do it, to take inventory and self-evaluation to say, why am I doing what I'm doing? But then next, I want us to do this. I want us to get in the habit of staying low. Look at your neighbor and say, stay low. Stay low. Stay low. You know what that means? Humility. You know, y'all know I coach basketball, and one of the things we tell our players is to stay low. If you're on offense, you're on defense, you got to stay low. We always say it like this, that the low man wins. What do I mean? It's the same in any sport. You got to get down. Butt down, like you're sitting in a chair, back straight. Why? Because that's where you're balanced. You got to stay low. And I'm here to tell you, in your walk with God, the low man, the low woman wins. The one who humbles himself wins. What is the right motivation? The right motivation for doing the things that we do, for serving God, the right motivation, number one, L, the love of Christ. The love of Christ. The love of Christ is the right motivation. That's the first thing. What he says right here, 2 Corinthians, for the love of Christ compels us, since we have reached this conclusion that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. What should drive me? The love of Christ. Notice I didn't say your love for Christ. What does he say right here? It says the love of Christ compels me. Not my love for Christ, but Christ's love for me is what drives me. The one that caused him to go to Calvary. It's not about me. It's not how much I love him. It's how much he loved me. God made him who knew no sin to be made sin for me. That's what Paul says. His love for me drives me forward. If anybody could love me like that, that's why I do what I do. The love of Christ drives me. Are you driven by the love of Christ? And I encourage you. That's why Paul said, listen, I pray that they understand the depth, the height, the width, the breadth of his love. Until you get a hold on the magnitude of his love for you. You'll never serve him for the right reason. When I think of his goodness and all that he has done for me, not only does my soul cry out hallelujah, and my life cries out hallelujah. See, I was reading in my devotion this morning in Ezekiel. Ezekiel, God told him not just to give the message, but to model the message. When I think of what he's done for me, I got to live it out. I got to walk in obedience. What is God calling me to do? The right motive is the love of Christ. Whenever I'm thinking to be selfish, I think of his selfless act. Listen, he being in very nature God, Philippians 2, who did not think equality with God is something to hold on to. But he came obedient. He made himself in like of a servant. Became obedient unto death. The right motive is the love of Christ. Second right motive is, obedience. What do you mean? He's just God. The love of Christ, yes. Thinking about what Jesus did, but the other reason why I do the right thing is because he said so. Because he's God. Y'all ever heard, I said this before, me and Al had this conversation. Sometimes God tells me to do stuff I don't understand. Anybody God told you something, to do something you don't understand? I'm not clear why you wanted me to do this, God. And I told Al, I liken it with our children. Sometimes I tell my kids to do something, they want to tell me why. I don't have time to explain to you why. Not only do I not have time to explain to you, your 9-year-old intellect cannot comprehend why this is best for you. So as your father and seeing what you can't see, all you need is because I told you so. Sometimes your heavenly father tells you to do something just because daddy told you so. You're not even going to be able to understand it. I do what I do strictly out of obedience. Because he's God. He's omnipotent. He's sovereign. He's ruler. He created it all. He knows how it works. So I'm called to obey him in spite of how I feel. I don't have to understand it. Daddy said do it, I do it. What motivates me? Obedience, just because he's God, because I fear him and I reverence him. And if he can speak the stars in space, he got power. I do what he said because he's all powerful and he said do it, so I do it. Stay low, stay low. And then the final letter in low is this. Listen, the final letter in low is W. Why do I do it? Out of worship and for witness. Out of worship and witness. Look at what the scripture says. Listen, that when they see your good works, Matthew chapter 6, when they see your good works, they will do what? Glorify your Father. Your Father is glorified when people want to see your good works. What is that? That's worship. He gets glory, but also people are drawn to him. They will glorify the Father. How is God glorified? When we walk in purpose. What is God's purpose? Then listen, he's not as willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. When we obey God, it ain't about us. It's about people seeing him in us. It's an act of worship which becomes a witness to the lost world. People will see more Bible than they ever read. They'll see more Bible than they ever read. Some people may never pick it up. They may never pick up the Bible, but they'll see you every day at work. And while you're doing what you're supposed to do, while you're in the Word, you can model the Word. And as they see it in you, they get to be drawn to him. Why do I do what I do? Because of the love of Christ. Because he paid such a price for me. Why do I do what I do? Because I'm obeying because he's just God. Why should I do what he's called me to do? Why should I obey? Because I worship him. Worship is ascribing worth. It's saying, God, you matter to me. I surrender my will to yours. And in doing that, it's a witness to a dying world. So the question is, why do you do what you do? Dwayne, I wish I had a mirror. Why am I doing what I do? If we can all be honest, guess what? Sometimes we get it twisted, we get distracted, and we can get caught up in pride. We can get to serving God and out of our pride, trying to perform for God and prove I'm right. Sometimes I can get to caught up in the routine, trying to impress people. Trying to feel better about myself, and hopefully if I do all the right things, I'll earn a reward. God says, stop it. That's all about you. We are to do the right things for the right reason, and the right reason is to, because of love for Christ, of Christ. A love of Christ leads to a love for Christ. Obedience because he's sovereign, and because we desire to worship him and be a witness to a dying world. Staying low. You know what that means? Humility. When we come under, if we humble ourselves, he will exalt us in his timing. And he gets the glory, not me. It's not about us, but it's about him. I encourage you today, stop keeping score. Stop keeping score. Get out of the performance mindset when you walk with God. You'll never do enough good for God to say, "Woo, that was great." You'll never do enough good. You sin one time, you didn't drop the ball. Well, he's great. He's good. We bask and we worship in the fact that he's made us. He declared us righteous. Not because of my good stuff. And because he declared me righteous, now, God, what can I do for you? How do you want me to serve you? I surrender all. Because of all you've done for me. Could we stand together? keeping score. Lord, deliver us from keeping score. Help us to stop keeping a record of our wrongs. Help us to stop keeping a record of the wrongs against us. Father, help us to stop boosting ourselves for the good stuff we've done. And to understand it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to your mercy that you saved us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You'll never do enough good to be good enough for God. You'll never do enough. My first call is to somebody today. There's somebody who's watching me who's been trying to prove your righteousness to God. You've been trying to do the right things. Hopefully at the end of your life, your good outweigh your bad. And you're praying that when God sees you, you're a pretty good person. And he lets you into his kingdom. That's not how it works. Because the reason why it doesn't work that way, because look, all you got to do is lie one time. All you got to do is do something one time wrong, and that's it. You've broken the law. The law is broken, and now I'm out of fellowship with God. The Bible said we're born sinners. We're born separated from him. You can't do enough good at the end of your life for God to say, I want to let you into my kingdom. Stop trying to prove your righteousness before him. But the thing about it is, he does want a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to be in close relationship with you, but you'll never get a relationship because of your good works. It's all based on his grace. It's all based on what Christ has done for you. See, Jesus Christ lived the perfect life. He never sinned, and he went through everything that you and I go through so that he could qualify to be your sacrifice. You say, Pastor, why do I need a sacrifice? The Bible says that, listen, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And he said, the Bible says also that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. The only way your sins can be forgiven, my sins can be forgiven, if there's a sacrifice paid for you, and it must be perfect. And Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice to pay for your sin. And if you want that relationship with God designed for you to have, you got to admit to God that you're a sinner. You got to believe that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you. You got to choose him to be your savior. If you're here or you're at home and you've never done that, you never made that decision. Or if you're not certain where you stand, you're not certain that if you were to die today, if you're not certain where you would go to spend eternity, and you want to be certain that you have all your sins are forgiven and you're in right relationship with God, I'm going to pray a simple prayer. If you want that relationship with God today, I want you to pray this after me right where you are, if you're at home or in the building, silently. Just say this to the Lord. You don't have to even say it out loud. Say it to the Lord. Just say this. Say, dear God, thank you for loving me just like I am. I admit I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe he was buried and rose again to make me right with you. Today, I choose to invite Christ as Savior and Lord of my life to forgive me of every one of my sins and to make me who he wants me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. With heads still bowed and eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to just pop your hand up so we can direct you to somebody to show you how you can grow in your relationship with Christ. What steps you need to take next. If you prayed that prayer that I just prayed and expressed the desire of your heart and you meant it from the bottom of your heart, listen, it's between you and God. Just slip your hand up right where you are. I see that hand. Somebody else, just slip your hand up right where you are. If you meant it, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, God. Somebody else, say, listen, I prayed that prayer, Pastor. I want that relationship with God. If you're at home and you prayed it, I want you to go right on your screen. There's instructions to do right on your screen right now. You just text the word next to 301-804-2520. Amen. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. Last thing. If you're here, you said, Pastor, I've prayed that prayer you prayed. I prayed it in the past before. I've accepted Christ. But I got caught in the trap of performing for God. I've been walking in my pride. I've been got caught in the trap of keeping score, and God's convicted me, and I want to change that. If that's you and you just want me to pray for you, why don't you raise your hand? Say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I want to get out of that keeping score trap and begin to serve him out of humility, serve him out of a love for Christ. Anybody here say that, look, Pastor, I just want to recommit myself to walking with him out of a love for Christ. Why don't you raise your hand? I can pray for you right where you are. Anybody? Amen. I see that hand. Somebody else. I see that hand. If at home you are in need of prayer and you want someone to pray for you with that, please, on your screen, there's a link right there. Go to that link and indicate, Pastor, that was me. Will you pray for me? I need someone to pray for me so that we can connect with you. Amen? Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for your power. We thank you for the one that said, yes, God, I want a relationship with you. Thank you for your mercy and for your grace and for your forgiveness, Lord God, and for them starting a relationship with you. I pray their lives will never be the same again. Lord God, for my sister who said, listen, and those others who said, listen, Father, we want to recommit ourselves to walking in humility and not out of pride. I pray that you'll help us get us connected in a community that can help encourage us and spur us on to love and good works. We praise you. We honor you in Jesus' matchless name. Amen.